What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters. Matters.
So when you say the history of geology, we are going back to the earliest stages of human civilization where, well, they didn't have systematic studies, or you don't have any record of that. I don't know if there was a geology university or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that knowledge had to be transferred somehow, like a teacher teaching students how to figure out rocks, different properties of rock. What kind of observations do you make? How do you figure out where to find water when you're traveling?
That is Joog Bhattacharya, professor of geology at the University of Wisconsin Whitewater. Hello, I'm your host, Venkat Raman. Today's episode is on geology, or geoscience, as Professor Bhattacharya calls it, on our podcast series on college majors to serve as a primer for high schoolers. We are fortunate to have Professor Bhattacharya with us on our podcast. In this podcast, Professor Bhattacharya tells us what geology is, its origins, its importance, areas of geology, key discoveries, and the skills needed to pursue geology in college and the career opportunities. Now, before we jump into the podcast, here are the high fives, five highlights from the podcast.
A lot of people think geology is just the study of rocks. So, you know,
right.
Looking at rocks. Rocks is one aspect of it. But we look at how the planet formed,
mm-hmm.
how our planet formed, the planetary system, sun, the other outer planets, inner planets, and then take it on to how the galaxy and other things formed. Geologists are useful, important, both for extracting your resources, like the mm-hmm. metals and energy resources, and mm-hmm. also for taking care of the environment of what happens before, during, and after you extract the resources. How old the planet is a big mm-hmm. one.
Mm-hmm.
So just the fact that we are talking about a planet that's 4.6 billion years old, just to get that number is a huge. It took a long time, a lot of work. Mm-hmm. I just went to a preschool with rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And they have. I took samples that I gave my college students.
Mm-hmm.
And the little kids are fine looking at the igneous rocks and volcanic glass and metamorphic rocks. They had their little hand lenses and looking at mineral grains arrangements and things. And they're drawing pictures. So it was fun. It was, but that's something they started pretty early on. So there's a lot of these related, interrelated disciplines, fields that geoscience, you can go with a geoscience degree, like natural science resource managers. So it's with a geoscience degree, you can probably get into any field that you want to.
These were the high fives brought to you by
College Matters.
Alma Matters.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Now, I'm sure you want to hear the entire geology podcast with Professor Bhattacharya. So without further ado, here is Professor Joog Bhattacharya.
So if you're ready, we can jump right in.
Sure, I'm good.
Fantastic. Okay, let's start with a basic question. What is geology?
Geology is very broadly the study of our planet Earth.
Hmm.
So it's very broadly. And when you say study of planet Earth, everybody says, what about the planet Earth? Or what are you studying here?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people think geology is just the study of rocks. So, you know,
right.
Looking at rocks. Rocks is one aspect of it, but we look at how the planet formed,
mm-hmm.
how our planet formed, the planetary system, sun, the other outer planets, inner planets, and then take it on to how the galaxy and other things formed. So that's really broad scale.
Yeah.
And what drives the planet? So we talk about plate tectonics. How did the oceans form? The continents formed? How did life start on Earth? And how did life continue since the starting as unicellular little organisms to today with all the diversity? How do we know about the fossil records and the geologic history? What happened since the first, you know, the planetesimals collided and formed a planet, and then what happened? So it's kind of a story. And we also look at the mechanisms of what the planet is doing, how the mountains are forming, and the natural hazards, like what makes an earthquake happen, what about volcanoes, tsunamis, landslides. So all these things that the planet is making us happen on the surface, like how do the water go from river to ocean to underground, and how do they cycle through all the systems? How do these different systems interact? So life shapes Earth, Earth shapes life. How do they play off of each other? And in practical aspects, geologists also study mineral resources. So where do you go to dig for certain minerals? Like oil and gas is obviously, but what about the minerals that make computers happen? So the critical elements, critical minerals that drives in the information technology, the rare earths, the all those the materials that make all the resources that we use for our way of life, like metals. Where do you get iron from? Where do you get aluminum from? So all these are what geologists study, and there are aspects of geology that goes beyond the basic studying. We also look for what the implications. So what might happen when some region don't have any water?
Right.
We solve these issues. Now, climate change is another huge driving factor, driving force that is doing, making a lot of geologists think about solving what are the implications? How do we address climate change issues? What happens when temperature goes up? So it's anything and everything that has to do with our planet, and life on planet. So geology is the can be applied to any discipline, basically.
How far back in time did human beings start, you know, practicing geology or studying the science? And what did we do? And what, give us a brief history.
So if you start thinking about it, human beings started to look at geology when they picked up the first rock to kill an animal. So you have to know how a rock behaves if you're trying to make stone tools, for example. Not every rock will act the same when you're hitting one with the other. Not every type of rock would keep an edge. So if you have flintstone, you have obsidian that can be used for arrowheads and stone tools, but a sandstone will not act like that. So want to go really far back, the moment human beings started using rocks as resources, you look at the first earliest geologists coming, becoming a valued member of their society. You need to find rocks that you can have caves in. Not every rock will make a cave. So you need to know where to go to find shelter. How do you make your weapons, and also how to navigate yourself? So during the Ice Age, human beings migrated from Europe to North America, but they had to follow something. So you have to navigate looking at stars, looking at landforms, and the people who led the groups had to have some geoscience spatial knowledge, because navigation is what you do with GPS. That's a big part of geoscience, is making maps. So all these knowledge were essential from the very get-go. We have evidence of old mining sites. So copper You think of after Stone Age, you become Bronze Age and Iron Age. Somebody had to find those metals and melt them and figure out how to use them in actual tools and weapons, right? So those were the earliest geologists. I mean, you needed to have that kind of knowledge to make society move forward. So when you say the history of geology, we are going back to the earliest stages of human civilization where, well, they didn't have systematic studies, or you don't have any record of that. I don't know if there was a geology university or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that knowledge had to be transferred somehow, like a teacher teaching students how to figure out rocks, different properties of rock. What kind of observations do you make? How do you figure out where to find water when you're traveling? That's a hydrology knowledge that you need. Or how do you, you know, find a cave, find your way around with using only stars. So those are I'd say, I'm not biased, even though I study this, but the earliest human civilization needed to have some knowledge of geology in a very systematic way to pass on from one generation to another for the very survival of their society. But geology, the study of it as we know it, that started, I think, in the 16th or 1700s. So people were looking at like the rocks, looking at fossils. They find out where the fossils come from. They looked at rocks layers. So people, the earlier geology studies were in the 1700s. So people like William Smith, who was a mine surveyor for mining in the coal mining, and needed to figure out how to find the same layer of rock at different areas, and eventually ended up making the first geologic map. And that was in the 1700s. And then James Hutton, who is considered the father of geology, he was in the 1700s as well. He came up with the concepts of that if you have processes that are happening today, like sand being deposited on beaches, that same processes acted way back when in the past. So if you know, if you study the processes that you see today, that will tell you what happened in the past, and you can interpret past environments. So he came up with the concept of present is the key to the past. And he started looking at the whole concept of geologic time. The time is not limited. It's not like just 10,000 years or 5,000 years. Time is infinite. You can go back and back and back, and there is no evidence, no sign of time being like, you can't see the end of it. You cannot start at one single point as the beginning. And at his time, that was a revolutionary thought, that time can be much, much more longer than what was being thought at that time, that Earth is only about 6,000 years old. So those kind of geologic thought, the Charles Darwin, the whole concept of evolution, which is one of the fundamental concepts of the geologic history, like fossil record. So he's also another contributor to the geology from a biology and evolution side. So the 1700s where, you know, you can say that geology was studied as a separate branch, but it was never one of those accepted, you know, hard and fast traditional sciences. Like, people looked at mathematics and astronomy and biology, like life sciences, as philosophies. You know, like you go into a university and study a branch, natural science branch and philosophy, and sit in an office and talk about those natural sciences. Geology was mostly in the field. So people looking for the coal mine seams, people just looking at rocks and figuring out, thinking about what are they. So a lot of the geology concepts did not come from traditional official studies in a laboratory or a university. It came from field work. People who barely knew, barely had a university degree, but came up with the fundamental concepts that shaped the geology that we do today. So it's mostly a practical applied science, the way I see it. They're called jobbers and ditch diggers. So geologists were not very respected early on. But, well, we contribute to every aspect of society. So we really don't care about whether people respect us or not. You can't live without us.
Why is geology important? And I think in a lot of ways you just said why. You know, it really is sort of explains how things work together and how Earth exists. Is there any other main reason to other than those to sort of point out why geology is so important?
Have you drunk water lately?
Yes, from a lot of different places.
Yeah. So if you need things like water for your survival, or you need metals for your daily life, or if you use any of the other, if you're using things that are not grown on plants or don't come from animals, you're using geology in some way. So even if you're doing agriculture, you need metals and oil and petroleum and energy to drive your tractor or dig the ground or store your food. So anytime you're using some kind of something, anything that does not come from either plants or animals, you're using geology. And geologists are useful, important both for extracting your resources, like the metals and energy resources, and also for taking care of the environment of what happens before, during, and after you extract the resources. So you send a geologist to make sure that mine waste products are not dumped in environmentally sensitive areas, or that doesn't pollute your water or soil in a way that people can't use that anymore. So geologists help taking materials out of the ground, and also make sure that that whole action helps the mine site to heal and to not be polluted beyond remediation. So, geologists also, you want geologists to take a look at natural hazards. So, you are in California, you know about earthquakes, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And you need to when to evacuate, where not to build, how to build your houses so they don't fall off, what to do when an earthquake hit. So geologists are people who are studying those natural hazards, like volcanic eruption. Somebody has to monitor it. Somebody has to tell people what to do when a volcano erupts, where not to go, how to evacuate. So earthquakes, natural hazards, wildfire is another area that geologists and geoscientists rather are involved in. So geologists are some of the people who are at the forefront of whenever disaster strikes, they go. So anywhere you have a landslide, you have geologists looking at monitoring it, trying to address it. Anywhere you have a tsunami, you have geologists jumping in to provide information, what's going on, how not, what to do, what not to do. So it's, again, if you're looking at a society that's functional, that want to live on this planet in a sustainable manner, you need geoscientists.
Got it. Let's switch gears a little bit. So how is the study of geology organized? What are the different branches? How is it practiced?
So the different branches of geology, classic branches would be study of fossils, that is paleontology,
mm-hmm.
study of past life, mm-hmm. then study of rocks, that's petrology,
mm-hmm.
study of minerals, that's mineralogy,
mm-hmm.
study of the rock formations like mountains and other things, that's structural geology,
mm-hmm.
and then you have other branches like geomorphology, that's study of landforms,
mm-hmm.
you have hydrology, that's study of the water,
mm-hmm.
that can be rivers and groundwater. You have the study of soil, that soil scientist, the
mm-hmm.
Study of the fossil fuels, that's a whole different branch of geoscientists.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are combination disciplines like geophysicists who study the physics sure. of this planet, geochemists mm-hmm. that they apply chemistry to study this planet.
Mm-hmm.
You have geobiologists, the same way, studying the biology of life forms and in a planetary context. And then you have the planetary geologists, they study the other planets besides our planet. So Venus, Mars, Moon, other planets. There are also oceanographers or ocean mm-hmm. scientists. So they study what's in the bottom of the ocean, how life behaves in the ocean. That's a whole different category of the geoscience altogether. Atmospheric yeah. scientists study the science of the atmosphere. So mm-hmm. the climate scientists, that's part of that, atmospheric scientists. So then you can go to the subcategories of how different branches interact, because geology, you can't just be in separate silos. You can't just
sure. say,
I'm only going to look at this piece, only going to look at minerals and not look at rocks, or I'm going to only look at the physical structure of things, but not know anything about the chemistry of it. So there's no way you can separate the branches out. There is also stratigraphy, looking at rock layers to figure out the history of the planet. You can come up with lots of different branches of geology that fits in different niche. But sure. those are basic main ones. And yes, this is very interdisciplinary. Geology is, we don't even call it geology anymore. We try to refer to it as geoscience.
Uh-huh.
To focus on the interdisciplinary aspect of geology. Geoscience is everything and how they connect together. So geophysics, geochemistry, geobiology. There is such a thing as geomathematics and geohealth.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Those are new disciplines coming up.
If you were to look back at the last maybe 50 years, just to give it a long time frame, what are some significant, I don't know if you want to call it discoveries or learnings from geology that we have achieved?
Some of the biggest discoveries in the geosciences, how old the planet is a big mm-hmm. one.
Mm-hmm.
So just the fact that we are talking about a planet that's 4.6 billion years old, just to get that number is
yeah.
huge. It took a long time, a lot of work, and to come up with that number. We are still looking at it, but that's where we are right now.
Sure.
Just looking at the geology column of all the different levels of what happened and all the thoughts and ideas and evidence that you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Plate tectonics, that was in like right around, plate tectonics became a theory in the 1980s.
Mm.
But that was the theory that binds all the geology branches together. That's a fundamental arch theory, that how mm-hmm. do plates move and how do they recycle themselves, how do they cause earthquakes and volcanisms and other things, what are the mechanisms and the dynamics that's happening in the plate tectonics area. So mm-hmm. I'd say that's a fundamental, big discovery in the geosciences that provided the framework of everything that's happening on this planet. Like, we can talk about it in the framework of plate tectonics. So that was another huge fundamental discovery in, like, that's relatively recent, actually. We are still looking at it. We are still studying it and trying to figure out every single detail. But plate tectonics is about the same level as the theory of evolution for biology.
Let's talk a little bit about how does one go about approaching this. So, you know, start with this idea of what competencies or what background do students need entering college to pursue geosciences, as you called it.
Students can start geoscience at any age. I just went to a preschool with rocks. And they have, I took samples that I gave my college students. And the little kids are fine looking at the igneous rocks and volcanic glass and metamorphic rocks. They had their little hand lenses and looking at mineral grains arrangements and things. And they're drawing pictures. So it was fun. It was, but that's something they started pretty early on. So the basic competencies that you need in high school for getting into geosciences, you need some, a little bit of physics and chemistry would be really good. Little bit of physics, I mean, like when you're talking about some of the terminology, for example, if we talk about the atoms and molecules and those things, you need to know, you need to understand what those are. When you talk about gravity, you need to know that what that is. Or force, the momentum, those things, you need to kind of have an idea of what am I talking about in class. You have some understanding of the periodic table. So when you talk about silicon, oxygen, tetrahedron, you are not kind of completely, what are you talking about? So you need to, you can, I mean, if I show you a periodic table, you need to know, okay, that's a group and that's a period and those are elements. So again, the elements and compounds, what are those? How do a molecule behave? Like, you know, covalent bonding, ionic bonding. I think those are covered in high school, middle school. So that kind of background is would be good. How to measure things, you know, in math, like radius versus diameter. If I say it's an equilateral triangle, what that even is. How do you measure angles? How do you measure distances? So those things, again, that's basic geometry and basic, you know, design drawing. We do use a lot of math, but not until you become like an upper level senior or you're actually working for like in your thesis or research like that when you start out. Basic, if I give you a fraction, it should be able to understand what that is. Like, how do you get decimal points and fractions and, you know, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. Calculus is more important later on. Geometry and statistics are more important in the early classes, like the basic classes. Looking at a graph and figuring out what that means, like how do X and Y relate to each other, that's a fundamental skill that you kind of expect that if I give you a graph like radioactive decay, the exponential decay happening. So can you look at how many half-lives have gone by for whatever the parent-daughter ratio is? So interpreting graph is a skill that would be helpful to have before you come to a geology class. But basically, like, these are my, I'm talking about my introductory geology student, my introduction to geology course. That's something what I look for when I come, the students come in. And so that's something that all students should have for any science, basically. for it's not just geology. So basic background in any kind of science. They do have AP Earth Science courses. If you are into geology and take some of the AP courses, you're great. You'll be one of my top students.
Okay.
So, but
now, yeah, go ahead.
Otherwise, it's a science that can be taught at any level. So I can talk about, I have taught plate tectonics to fourth graders and fifth graders. And yeah. I still teach plate tectonics to my upper level students. So mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. We scale it up or scale it down in terms of student understanding and comprehension.
So our students, when they apply, they'd apply for a major like geology and they can get started from what you're saying, right in their freshman year, mm-hmm. and gradually go through the upper classes, expanding out the discipline, right?
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm.
basically.
Yeah.
And is it a good idea to do cross-disciplinary things? I mean, you know, talking to your students seemed like they were doing physics and geology, and you know, the people had sort of different, multiple disciplines that they were, or multiple majors.
Yeah.
Even if not major, it's major minor. So is that recommended or is that a good thing to do?
We basically recommend that when you're doing a geology major, have 1 year of physics, 1 year of chemistry, and 1 year of calc-based math.
Okay.
So that kind of comes out to like a physical science minor. Mm-hmm. Take mm-hmm. classes in everything a little bit. If you're going into paleontology instead of physics, take a 1 year of biology.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we recommend, that have that kind of background. On our campus, we kind of teach students GIS or how mm-hmm. to use geographic information system, which mm-hmm. is a really good skill for any kind of job opportunities that are coming up nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But for minors, geology can be minored with anything. I have students who's minoring in physics. I have students minoring in chemistry. Mostly they minor in environmental studies
mm-hmm.
for a broader understanding of any of the environmental related topics, including human interaction with the environment, not just coming from the rock side, but also the side of the society.
Mm-hmm.
And how do society get impacted or impacts the non-living environment. So that's another minor that's highly recommended.
Mm-hmm. What are the different career opportunities after a four-year degree for students?
So I'm right now looking at a graph that came out in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And that is about median annual salaries of geoscience occupations.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked 2018 because that was pre-COVID. COVID did
yeah.
something that we never really expected.
Right.
But the minimum median salary I can see is about 47K.
Mm-hmm.
And the maximum is about 141K. So the mm-hmm. minimum salary is life, physical, and social science technicians,
mm-hmm.
which is not especially a geoscience degree. It's something that somebody with a geoscience degree can have a job
sure.
in.
Yeah.
And maximum is engineering managers and petroleum engineers. That those are making like 130K plus a year.
Sure.
So the other jobs that you have, mining, petroleum engineering, geology engineering, civil engineering, environmental engineering, those are the upper scale of the careers.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, outside of that, you can be environmental scientists,
mm-hmm.
environmental consultants,
mm-hmm.
people who look at soil and plant and water, so hydrology, soil scientist.
Mm-hmm.
You can have... policy is a huge field for geoscientists, so you can go into government and do with natural resource management and natural resource policy makers, people who are looking at the supply chain management for today, right now. So
mm-hmm.
they're identifying what are the critical elements that they need for making the energy sector go green.
Yeah.
So we're looking at semiconductors, elements that you use to make batteries. So mm-hmm. you need to know, you need to have somebody who knows where are those elements coming from, where do you go to mine them, how do you make sure that the mining is done safely and responsibly and sustainably? And that's a whole branch of policy that's open for geoscientists. Mm. Because somebody needs to understand the science to tell the policymakers, okay, no, we need to do this to have a treaty with that country, or not, don't destroy the rainforest just because we need that element, because these things might have long-term impacts.
Sure.
So that's another whole branch of science policy that geoscience are very good at. Mm-hmm. Then you have education sector. So like me, college yeah. and post-secondary teachers, that's another line of employment that you have. Business owners, a lot of geoscientists get an MBA and then have their own business, like construction, mining, supply, exploration business, like the go out and look for materials and natural hazard, like your backyard is falling into the lake or ocean, you need somebody to fix it. Mm-hmm. And that somebody better have a geoscientist on call so you know what not to do or where not to build. So civil engineering gets a lot of geoscientists in there. So there is a lot of these related, interrelated disciplines, fields that geoscience, you can go with a geoscience degree, like natural science resource managers. So it's with a geoscience degree, you can probably get into any field that you want to. You're not going to limit it to just one aspect. Like accounting majors will only get jobs in accounting.
Right. True.
Geoscience majors, not so much. They can go into any field and still be okay.
What fraction of the students typically go to grad school versus take on jobs in geology?
It totally depends on students.
Yeah.
Like in geoscience, we, on our campus,
yeah,
we the kind of strongly recommend students go to grad school, because a lot with a bachelor's degree, you will get a good job, but then moving on into careers, you might need a higher degree. So you might get an end up like a dead end job or something like that.
Sure.
You might be a technician, but then you might get a, you know, might be in an accident, and then what happens to you? You might need some other expertise or skills to move into a different job. So for our campus, most, I'll say about 30% of the students move on to grad school, but most get a job right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, geoscientists mostly get a master's degree,
okay,
and then move into the job field. With a master's degree, you're much more flexible, so you can pick whichever field you want to be and mm-hmm. have a lot more options than with just a bachelor's degree. And if you want to move on to the education field, you can always come back and get a PhD with a master's. And then you can, go into the academia. But with a master's, you can be in industry, you can go into academia, you can have your own career wherever you want to go. So that's a much more flexible degree. And that's mm-hmm. kind of what we recommend. Like when you are in the bachelor's degree, go for a graduate degree in master's. Get a master's degree.
Fair enough.
So
that makes sense.
One of the things, though, for geology, if you go into graduate school, you only go if your graduate program is paying you. You do not pay for your own education after your bachelor's. So,
oh, I see.
Yeah. a lot of the other programs, other disciplines, you pay for your master's degree, like in social work.
Yeah.
You have to pay your tuition and fees, and you have to take a student loan to get a master's degree.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case in the geosciences. So when you go to the grad school right now, Brett, like you'll be talking with him soon. He got a full tuition waiver, a stipend for 2 years guaranteed for his master's program. So that's kind of what we expect. If the graduate school is not paying you, you don't go. It's almost like getting hired in a job, but you're getting trained for a job. And as a graduate student, you'll also work, like as a teaching assistant or a research assistant. So it's not free money. It's not a award. You are working for it, but you will have your own. You'll be able to pay your way through, which is a case for our field.
I want to kind of turn slightly different area now, talk a little bit about yourself. You know, just listening to you, you're so much into geology that, you know, it's not difficult to see that it's a huge passion. So you sort of outlined briefly how you got into it, but tell us why you are in geology. I mean, how did that happen?
It was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was growing up, I had no idea what geology was.
Mm-hmm.
I seriously did not know that people study rocks and call it work. I grew up in a city, so I didn't have any, like, a lot of people grow up hunting, camping, picking up rocks. I had no idea. Yeah. I had a lot of bricks, but nothing natural rocks.
Yeah.
So when I was growing up, like from my high school, if somebody asked me what I wanted to be, I wanted to be an engineer like my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But geology was nowhere in my radar.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened, a couple of things happened when I was just finishing my high school and going into college. One of them was I got into a book. It's a kind of a book about like a spy thriller by Desmond Bagley, Knight of Error. He was a really good, popular author in the 1980s.
Sure.
Knights of Error. And that was about, the protagonist was a marine geologist, and they're looking for manganese nodules from the ocean floor. And this guy's brother got murdered because of international spy drama, and they're trying to get that nodules out. So it was a fast read. But one of the things that the guy said in the book, like, oh, 10,000 years? That's recent.
And
I was a history buff in high school, and 10,000 years is not recent. All the civilizations that you know of are just about 5,000 years or a little bit more than 5,000 years.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at 10,000 years, that's recent. Then what is old by this guy? Like, what's really historic? So that kind of got me to think, there is a discipline that goes past 10,000 years. I had no idea that Earth was that old or something.
Sure.
So that was my first kind of inkling of what, that there is a discipline that looks at time in a very different way than anything I've read or talked or looked at in my full high school career. And then I kind of stumbled onto a geology textbook. Mm-hmm. I went to a library, like, just trying to figure out what geology is. Somebody suggested that, oh, you don't want to do engineering, give geology a chance. I'm like, what heck is geology? By the way, I hated geography as a student. So I'm like, I'm not going to do geography. No, it's different. How is it different? So I kind of looked into a textbook, and there was some three-dimensional drawing of a fault plane.
Mm-hmm.
A fault plane that causes earthquakes. And that got me totally hooked. It had everything that I've ever liked. It was all about physics. It was all about three-dimensional geometry. It was history. Mm-hmm. It was like a combination of all my favorite disciplines in one chapter. Like everything that I've ever wanted to do. So it was not scattered all over. So I'm like, okay, I'm doing geology because, you know, in high school, you kind of try to figure out what do you really like. And you like this, you like history, you like, you know, looking at, like math, and you like drawing, and you like physics, and you need to pick one direction to go. Now you can't decide which direction to go. But this is like a one size fits all, like everything that I like in one package that somebody's offering. Right. And then, of course, when college, I went my first field trip, geology field trip, and I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
This is a discipline that takes me outside and makes me walk in rocks and go into rivers. And again, everything I ever wanted to be, like I wanted to be an explorer, you know, like Robinson Crusoe or look at.
Yeah.
So this is like, I get to go hike and call it work and I get paid for it. I mean, you can't take me out of geology now.
No, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. You know, I see that you were very interested in geology and you studied it and you were totally into it. Now, did you at any point realize that you were really good at it? Or is it just that you were so consumed by the interest that it just propelled you forward?
No, actually, I did realize at one point I was good at it when I could, I saw that I needed to visualize things in 3D. Mm-hmm. So that's something geologists have to do. Like you have to visualize not just the top surface, but the entire three-dimensional object in your head and see how you rotate things in space and how the different orientations change, or look at a surface map and interpret what's happening underground.
Right.
Now, when I was doing my undergraduate degree, I got my undergraduate and master's degree in India.
Yeah.
So when we have been studying structural geology, that's about the shape of rocks when they get folded or faulted.
Yeah.
And people have to kind of understand the three-dimensionality of those structures. So when you have a fold, how do different parts of the fold relate to each other? And you have to do that in your head.
Right.
And I realized that I can do that much better than anybody else in my class.
Mm.
So I started teaching them, how am I doing it in my head?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we'll have study sessions and I'll tell and make up models and have people see and look and, okay, this is how you're doing it. This is how you should be visualizing it. And at that point, I realized, like, no, this is, I am not just interested, but I'm actually good at it.
That's fantastic.
Anything. But...
No, that's fantastic. Because it's very difficult to have an aha moment. And for you, something very discreet and clear is just is amazing. Okay, so I'm going to leave you with one question then. You probably have 1,000 things that satisfy you in geology. If you were to pick the one thing that's the most satisfying thing as, you know, being in this discipline, practicing geosciences, what would that be?
You mentioned the aha moment.
Yeah.
When I get to see the aha moment in my students. That's the best.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody's struggling and trying to figure out, and all of a sudden, oh, I get it now. And that, oh, the aha moment when that light bulb just glows in a student's face and they're invincible from that point onwards. Just sharing that moment, just watching that moment is the best of everything that I do as a geologist. Nothing comes close.
Fantastic. So, Juke, this has been exhilarating, I must say. This is fascinating. I love the way you described what geosciences is, the way you talked about all the different aspects. And I can see why you're passionate and excited every morning. So thank you so much for sharing all that. And hopefully this serves as a great inspiration to all the high schoolers out there. So I'm sure we'll talk more, and I love looking forward to talking to your students. So for right now, take care, be safe. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed our podcast on geology with Professor Jugh Bhattacharya of UW-Whitewater. Professor Bhattacharya gives us a great overview of geology, its importance to society, civilization, humanity, career opportunities, and skills to pursue undergraduate study. I hope this podcast inspires you to learn more about geology or geoscience as a major. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io with the subject line geology. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College matters.
Alma matters.